hands and give him praise, for he's worthy to be praised and adored. We give him all the glory, we give him all the honor for all that he has done for us, for bringing us here today, for keeping us alive, for keeping us strong, for keeping us healthy, for keeping our children. We give him all the glory for journey mercies in traveling in and out of the country, in and out of the states, and he's kept us. He's protected us, he's guided us, he's done all these wonderful things for us. We give him praise. We give him praise that we're excelling in our jobs, we're excelling in our businesses, we're succeeding on the left and succeeding on the right. We give him praise. We give him all the glory. We give you all the glory. Lord Jesus, we're gathered here today to declare your glory. Dear Heavenly Father, the fathers have told us how good you are and that you do not fail. Today your children are gathered to declare that goodness, to show forth your power, that our children will have a story to tell their children, that you are good and your mercies endure it forever. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we put our hands together for this wonderful choir? Thank you. Thank you so much. Can you hear me clearly? Am I audible enough? All right. Thank you very, very much for being here today. And Brother Ike, God bless you. When you travel, we miss you a lot. Please, when you are traveling next time, come for Sunday service, then fly back. Continue your trip. Don't leave us hanging. All right? When you travel, you leave us with success. 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 Success will just be singing, singing. But let me tell you a secret. When you are not here, when you are not here, success, favor, they can sink. But it's like when you're here, they'll just be, just be reducing their steeds so that it won't be as if they're dragging with you. But they can sing. How I knew that favor can sink. Favor. Dr. Precious has gone, Abby. Dr. Precious has gone. Favor. When she's next to her mommy, she sings small. Maybe she doesn't want her mommy to be feeling somehow. But when her mommy's not here, Pastor Peter invited Favor to the food pantry to sing, my brother. She sang. One guy almost tore his shirt. We had to be holding him. Don't tear your shirt. Yes, Favor, she can sing. Praise God for all of you that sing here. God bless you. All right. Can we open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13? From verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Are you there? I would like for you to, if you have your Bibles, lift it up. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a phone that you have your Bible on, lift it up or lift up your hands and say with me, I solemnly declare that I believe in the Bible. I solemnly declare that I believe in the Bible. Why it's important for us to say this is because all of our conversation is based on this Bible. And if you don't believe it, I also believe that as you continue to hear the word of God and it proves itself in your life, your belief in the word of God will become firm. Now in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now abided faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And Some time ago, I spoke about love and I've spoken about faith. But today I would like to speak about hope. Hope is a topic that you don't get a lot of people talking about it. If faith, hope, and love were siblings, love would be, is there right here, the greatest, the firstborn. Love, everybody talked about love, love, love. Everybody wants to be loved. And faith is that sibling that is everywhere. Powerful sibling, everybody's talking about them. Hope will be the one that is shy, quiet. Hope will be like a last born. But the thing about being a last born is, if you're a last born, just use dignity and wave your hands. The thing about being a last born is that even though people will look down on you somehow, they can't do without you. Right? Okay, if you're not a last born, but you have a last born that you cannot do without, just say amen. Yes. We, the people of the last born community, we greet you too. All right. So, faith is that amazing phenomenon that everybody likes to talk about. Miracles by faith. Healings by faith. This by faith. You receive things by faith. But the thing about faith is that whether you have faith or not, you believe. You might not be able to do the supernatural, but you'll be okay. Right? You, that you have faith or not. If you have tiny faith, if you have big faith, you'll be fine. If you don't have love in your heart, you'll be an angry person, but you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be angry, but you'll still be okay. But the thing about hope in this context is that people don't commit suicide for lack of faith. They commit suicide for lack of hope. When there's no hope anymore, boom. People don't walk away from marriages for lack of faith. It's lack of hope. When there's no hope that this thing is going to work, they walk away. People don't give up on dreams, aspirations for many other reasons. But when that tiny light, that ray of hope is gone, everything else changes. So the one thing I would like to say is, as much as you chase after the big things and the big achievements, don't be one person. Don't be one person that kills hope. There are many times people have come to you as friends, as siblings, as children, as parents, and have told you, oh, this is the situation of this. This is what I want to do. The moment you take out the light of hope in that situation, anything you get out of it, you take it like that. It's not something that's very talked about, but it's something that keeps people alive. Don't be the one that kills hope. If you can't do anything for somebody, the least you can do is give them hope. If somebody comes, say, hey, money, hey, help me, help. And you say, I don't have money to give you. Don't just say, go away. If you listen to the person and say, don't worry, God will do it. Yeah, I know sometimes you tell people that and I say, is it that one we are going to eat? Still give hope. Because you don't know. There might be somebody you walk with, somebody that walks by you in the day, and the person has been turned down, no. And you are the last hope that person has. The hope for a smile, the hope for some comfort. The moment you kill that hope, you've harmed that person. I work in a community that has a lot of young people. And one of the things that's constant with young people is they're trying to grow their confidence. Confidence to face life. Confidence to address people. For some, it's just that confidence to walk up to that young lady and say, hey, how are you? Right? Young people trying to grow confidence. The moment you kill that confidence in a moment of, don't leave me alone. Who are you to even talk to me, self? This is true. That person will carry that low self-esteem almost the rest of their lives. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1, as it begins to define faith, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It means that where there's faith, hope is the seed that grows that faith. If you never had hope that you'll be able to achieve anything, how would you grow on it? That's why a lot of people take their young kids and say, oh, you know, go see, you know, go to a hospital, see how the hospital works, in the hope that they would like it and want to be a doctor. Some will take their kids to sports events and say, oh, let's go see LeBron James, in the hope that when they see that thing, a seed will be sown in their hearts and they will pursue it. And that is how hope is built. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 4, from verse 18? Luke 4, 18. This is Jesus. And he's in the temple and he opens up the books and he starts to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If you look at the things that Jesus pointed out one after the other, there are things that if these sets of people lose hope, that's where damage is done. What's the prayer of a poor man? Say, God, go do harm. There's always hope. God, go do harm. And a poor man keeps going in the hope that God will do it. Isn't it amazing that as you look at African countries, look at some Asian countries, we call them third world countries. They are third world countries, but their suicide rate is low. They hope that there will be change one day. And look at superpowers, like one country we are in right now. With everything, boom, people are killing themselves. As a matter of fact, there's a level of... One of the things that has caused such kind of actions is the false hope that money gives. For those of you that are education... In Maslow's law hierarchy of, you know, Maslow's law, there's the basic need. And as you continue to progress, you go to self-actualization. And generally, people believe that self-actualization is when you have made money. You have made it. The problem is that people get to self-actualization and realize that there's no actual source. There's no actual satisfaction in self-actualization. You believe that when I make it, okay, I'm trying to talk calmly. They say Americans don't shout. If you start shouting, they'll not hear what you're saying. So talk calmly. So I'll try and be talking calmly. So people believe that when they've made money, they'll be comfortable. And you go ahead and fight your entire life to make all that money. And the moment you get there, you find out that there's no comfort there. Couple of young men that will go into sports, go into music. Because I've been trained in financial systems, when I see people that make money suddenly, I don't see it as a breakthrough. I see it as something to be afraid of, because such kind of people are easy targets. You were a young man. Nobody was talking to you before. All of a sudden, you get your signature on a contract. Boom! Millions of dollars. Then all kinds of girls start greeting you, start smiling at you. Then you start saying, yeah, I can get any girl I want. No, you can't. You are a target. The deceit that financial prosperity brings that makes people believe that once they get it, everything will be okay. And you get it and you find out that you have no friends. You have people that need stuff from you, but you really have no friends. You find out that people that knock on your door, if you were poor and broke and hungry, and people are having mercy on you and they say, oh, let's help this person. It is better to be in that state than to be rich and wealthy and still be empty on the inside, so that people are looking for you and yet you are alone. People say, oh, this person is okay now. They are always having visitors. They are always, everybody's always trying to greet them after service. They can't be alone. And woe unto you if you live your whole life trying to achieve this success and end up alone in that state. Things like suicide will not be an option. Things like drug overdose will be an option. Don't you see all of them superstars? You have made it in music. Everybody's calling you up around everywhere. The next thing, drugs. Because there is no success with just finances. It's a mirage. It's something that keeps you running. Something that keeps you running and never achieving it. If there was success with just finances, all the richest men in the world would be on a yacht, you know, taking coconuts somewhere. But they are not. The more money you make, the less sleep you get at night. Me now that has $3 in my account, I sleep fully, sleep too much. So they'll be waking me, ton. I'll be sleeping. But if I had like 3 containers on the high sea, I won't sleep. What's my phone? The boom, I'll jump up. Where's the container? The deception that financial success will bring you happiness is a lie. Anywhere you find yourself in life, my brother, sleep. Don't let motivational speaker tell you that, oh, if you are not sleeping, if you are sleeping for 5 hours a night, you are going to be poisoned. Lie, sleep. 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 If you don't sleep, you can't think well. Sleep. Staying up at night worrying will not help you solve your problem. Sleep. Eat. Someone that is hungry cannot be innovative. Rest. Sleep. Problem will not finish.
Hallelujah.
There is hope. There is hope for you. I was just laughing at myself today. For me to be standing here today telling you this thing, there must be hope for you. Because when I graduated from university in my first degree, people were getting awards. Awards for the best in science, best in engineering, best in major things. I got an award. You know what my award was? The most quiet person is quiet. Which kind of award is that? And I can be talking today. There's hope. There is hope.
All right.
So, I will tell you this. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15. From verse 11. And we're going to read the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15 from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. This is Jesus talking. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began
to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. Now, one of the things that this story screams to me is the fact that, yes, this boy, as many young people, have gone off to live what Bible calls a riotous life, wild life. And at the point where he starts to analyze his situation, that he was eating the food of swine, he said to himself, I will go to my father. Now, this ties back to the first thing I started with, saying that do not kill hope. If you have children, and for some reason along their journeys in life, they start to sway, they start to, you know, get interested in all kinds of things. They come and tell you different stories about what they want, how they know what they want, and all of that. If you shut that door in the name of religion, if you name of I can't take this, or in our family we don't do this, if you shut that door, when that child is done with everything they are out there to explore, would they be able to say, hey, in my father's house? A lot of times with religion, we have so built ourselves to be these perfect examples of God, of righteousness, that our own children don't see us as people to come back to. And in the last moments, when they're at the edge of, you know, something to sniff, or at the edge of a bullet, or at the edge of a wrong decision, they don't see you as somebody to come back to. My appeal to you is, do not shut the door of hope to anyone, especially your children, so that when they are at the end of those wrong decision making, they'll be able to say, hey, in my father's house. If you are married, my appeal to you is, don't shut the door of hope in your bed with your spouse. Because cheating doesn't start when the man has gone to carry another woman, or when the woman has gone to carry another man. Cheating starts when the door of hope is shut. I want to talk to you. I'm tired. I cannot talk today. Please give a future date where this conversation will happen. Don't shut the door of hope. Because every time you say, oh, I'm tired, I can't talk, I'm not in the mood, I'm this, I'm that, there's that one man outside. And the devil, wicked as he is, always prepares them to lie. The Bible says sin lies at the door. It's that one person that will be waiting for that, your spouse that you don't want to talk to, outside the door, to say, hey, gorgeous, you're looking good today. When a man comes into the office and his head is down, there's just that one person that will say, ah, why are you always looking gloomy? I promise you, ladies, he did not want to start that conversation. Just that the other lady always used to come and say, why are you laughing now? Stop laughing like that. So another lady used to come and say, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you hungry? Are you okay? When the door of hope is shut to you at home and the man feels this woman will never have my time, you finally tell that woman, don't mind that my wife, Seth. Right? He did not plan it though. It just happened that sin lies at the door. Don't be the one that will be shocked when you get to heaven and you are telling God, oh, I'm the good one. He's the one that cheated on me. She's the one that could not keep her left. And God said, you are the one that shut the door of hope and caused the man to stumble. Your judgment will be worse. Oh, I'm the righteous one. Before you wear your cloak of righteousness, before you point your fingers of accusation, check those three fingers pointing back at you. Are you free of the blood that is on the head of your spouse? Are you free? Don't shut the door of hope ever on anything and anyone. Because you close the little opportunity you have to make an impact in the life of that person. There's a lot that happens in this world that are beyond our explanation. There's a lot of things that you see and you're like, oh, why is this person acting like that? And you know the worst part is in a conflict, is the person that has the loudest voice that people listen to. So, gentlewoman is sitting down there, the husband is accusing you, you're like this. And everybody's like, ah, woman, change now, woman, change now, you can't. And because the woman is quiet, everybody thinks that she's wrong. Is that not how life is? They say first to report. It's the first to report that will get advantage, Abby. But guess what? Though men will judge like that, God does not judge like that. What am I trying to say? As much as it lies in your power, keep the doors of hope open. Let me tell you something for married people. Sometimes you carry the problems of other people and bring to your home without knowing it. How? You go out there, you talk to friends, you go, and you're living with this woman that loves you, or living with this man that loves you, right? And there's nothing on their mind. And you come home, the man did not do anything. You just come home and just say, ah! This world is a very terrible. See, all these useless men that are cheating up on that. If I ever catch my husband cheating, the guy's like, ah, what did I do? You have built the wall in his mind. He didn't do anything before. He did not do it. He was actually home, being a good husband. But you were just there talking, eh, all this. If I. The day the man is in a dangerous situation, you have already played your cards. He's not coming to talk to you. He said, ah, but I was very open. Really? Silent threats. If I catch my wife, you have built walls. Be careful what you open your mouth and say. Many people have destroyed their opportunities in life because of what they open their mouth and say. On the job I do, I help students get internships. And I was sitting right there. They were not talking to me. I was sitting right there. And a young man and another lady were having conversation. And the young man was telling the lady that, ah, anywhere I work, I can't work for free. They must pay me. Anywhere I work, they must, after he finished talking. How many days later, they came to say, ah, this guy wants an internship. I already had the impression in my mind that this one, he will go and embarrass us outside. Because of words. You might not be talking to that person, but your words at work is causing more harm to your future. Do you know how many times they discuss your promotion and because of something you were saying in your lunchroom that did not concern the promotion process, they say, ah, if we promote this person, it will trouble us here. Opportunity gone. Careful. Don't use your words to destroy your home. Don't use your words to destroy your family. There is always hope to fix things, no matter how bad it's gone. This guy was eating from a swine. And he thought to himself, that thought, if there was no room for that thought to be sown, if there was no room for that thought, he would never have gone back to his father's house. There are loads and loads of people that have, what's the word I'm looking for? They have transferred the functionality of the church and the gospel to politicians. As a matter of fact, politicians have known the church so well that they know what words and what lines to get us in church to be jumping. It's not the job of politicians to deal the righteousness of the nation. It is the job of the church. So I'm amazed when people say, I vote for this political party because they said they would do righteousness. They're politicians, they lie. That's what they do. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And who are the people to bring up the banners of righteousness? It's the church. It's you. Nobody else will change it. Nobody else will change it. My little son comes home some days ago and he starts to tell me that, what's the purpose of our Christianity? You go to Sunday school every day, you present every day, and you talk about, we preach every morning, night, grandpa is preaching, the other grandpa is preaching, every grandpa is preaching, grandma is preaching, and you're asking me, why are we going to heaven? What's going on with you? And he said, somebody in school told me that I don't need to go to heaven. The young man in school was telling my son to have a good life here on earth. All of you looking to go to heaven, maybe you are suffering on earth. My son starts to think, poverty, heaven, good life, no need. And we start to reorientate him, because that's what you must do. The kids will go out there and learn everything this world has to tell them. That there is no God. There is no hope. There are no miracles. That all this religion, they're just telling you to keep you in chains. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to enjoy marijuana? It's free. Don't mind your parents. They will keep telling them. And if you fail to always remind them and remind them that they are not here to escape to heaven, they are here to make an impact in this world, and they can make an impact in this world if you give them the fertile ground in your home to grow. Because if they don't have a fertile ground in your space, they would never grow, or they will run away to go grow somewhere else. Avoid the temptation of transferring your childhood trauma to your children. Avoid the temptation of saying, this is how we were raised. This is how you should be raised. Some time ago, many years ago, I don't know if my dad will remember, said, one of the troubles about life is that when, as a person, let's say, as a man, for instance, as a man, you find this love interest outside your home, you're not married, and you bring that story to your brethren in church, and they say, there's this girl in my office, so what will happen? Blood of Jesus. We don't talk about such things here. And you feel, let me not say it to these church people. And church, you looking at me, has become a home of hypocrisy, where we all dress up on Sunday morning and come and smile at each other. How you doing? How you doing? And we hide the bottom difficulties and dangers that our families are facing. And the devil knows this. The devil knows that you will never come and tell this brother and that brother, so that we'll not laugh at you. And he keeps you in isolation, and he destroys you because of isolation. Because the church has become a home of hypocrisy. Well, in my former career, we used to do something after work. All the men would go hang out after work. All the women would go hang out after work. And they would have conversation. And in that space, where people are drinking beer, drinking alcohol, laughing, young man would come and say, there's one girl in the office I like. Oh, do you know what those men would do? They would heal you first. Hey! Okay, I won't shout. They will heal you. Bad guy! After they finish healing you and they warn you, say, make nothing to my sister. And the guy accepts it. He accepts it because he feels like he's been understood. The young woman will go and tell her girls, say, I don't carry belly. They say, not that fine boy. You safe. After they heal her, they'll say, anything they advise her to do, she will do. Why? Because she has been drawn close. If you have not shown love to your brother, if you have not shown love to your sister, if you have not drawn anybody close and fed them, you have no right to condemn them, because they will turn and fight you like your life depended on it. Have you ever seen where a sister will go and tell another sister in church, I don't like this, you're dressing. It's not fight. It's not for Sachema. I'll just come and meet you now. I said, Sachema, this cloth you're wearing is too tight. I'll be doing it. You first nod me. That which kind of nonsense is that? But if you saw me as someone that you loved, I can drag the cloth and say, which kind of tight cloth? You say, give me my tight cloth. What happens? Your tight cloth. You see where the difference is coming out from? The reason why we can't communicate in love to each other is because you've not even showed love to the person next to you. Don't judge. Give hope. Give hope. And I can tell you this morning that there is hope to be given. There is hope. The Bible makes us understand that Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope that he should become the father of many nations. He considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right? In Nigeria, there's a saying they used to have that all die now die. You don't get any die when person go die, when go pass die. Yes, now. You've not heard it before. Once you have, you can't say, oh, this one bomb killed him, this one knife killed him, this bomb dead pass. No, all die now die. Once you die, you are dead. But the Bible didn't just stop there. It talks about the deadness. It means that Sarah's deadness has passed die. That's deadness. Not just menopause, dead. But Abraham believed, considering not those things, and became the father of faith. Don't let hope die. Even in situations that have become like Sarah's womb, deadness, don't let hope die. There is life that you can live. There is strength that you can give. Don't be the one that every time you knock on somebody's door, they say we're not at home because you're always collecting. Give. There's something in you that can help another man achieve a better life. A young man walked up to my table, asked me, said, how long have you been here? And I told him, and he was shocked. You have all this responsibility and you are just coming in? Listen to me. Some people were born rich. Some people were born with trust funds. They will never suffer. And some people are like, that is good for them. Some people are born into wealthy homes. You hear their name. When somebody's last name is Guinness, you know that person cannot suffer ever again. When somebody's last name is Toyota, that is a family name. They can't ever suffer again. They have trust funds. Some people are born with educational benefits. They can go to school, get PhD. Some people can read. They are sharp. When I read one thing, read. When that person will read the whole book in a few minutes and understand it. Brains were given to them. Every man comes with his own advantage. But don't ever look at yourself and think to yourself that, because I'm not like this, I'm not like that. The one thing I can say for myself is that from the day I was born, my head was anointed with oil. Now my cup is running over. I can tell you for sure that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And as I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can tell you that for free. I can tell you that when everybody's running to different corners, the name of the Lord is my strong tower. And the righteous run into it and they are safe. Somebody say, hey, but you say you will not shout. Hold on a second. The same wise people that you say they don't shout. I attended a basketball game and wise people were shouting. I attended an NFL and they were shouting. On volleyball games, they were shouting. This is why you don't shout. Because you're not passionate about what you believe. I believe what I'm telling you. And I will lift my voice to the mountaintop to let you know that the name of the Lord is our strong tower. We run into it and we find safety. Some have trusted in horses. Some have trusted in chariots. Some have trusted in American economy. Some have trusted in the bombs, in the military. We don't trust in all that. The name of the Lord is our strong tower. My people, let me tell you. David says, I've been young. Now I am older. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread in the morning or in the night. I have never seen. Listen, you might have $1 billion trust fund somewhere. You might have some security somewhere. But my Bible tells me that I have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but we are not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. bound but not destroyed, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in us. We are of God, little children, and we have overcome them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen. How more can I say this thing for you to understand? You are not hopeless. You are not hopeless. Your security is not in bank accounts. Your security is not in jobs. Your security is not in police. It's not in 911. It is in the name of the Lord. It's in the name of the Lord. And is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. He is able, more than able. Just lift your voice and pray. Just lift your voice and talk to Jesus. Lift your voice and talk to Jesus. Consider the things that you have not been able to achieve, and you have struggled and you have pushed. Consider that child that you've been seeing. What kind of child is this? How much more does it take for a child to learn? How much more does a child take to grow? Consider all of these things and remember. Remember that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Remember that your light affliction is but for a moment. It's but for a moment. Looking not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They go away. But the things which are not seen are permanent. There is hope for you. There is hope for your children. There's hope for your family. There's hope for that one person that you have labeled a problem, black sheep of the family. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Lift your voice. Call that name of that person. Call that name of that child. If it's you that is losing hope, call your own name. Speak up. Pray, scream, shout if you have to. over, Lord Jesus, I pray for your children. I ask that your light will shine in their lives. I ask that your light will shine in my life. That everywhere I go, I will bring hope to the hopeless. That everywhere they go, they will give strength to them that have no strength. They will speak a word in due season that will change the lives of men and women. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the parents that are here. In this generation where all kinds of things are coming up every day, trying to drag the attention of the children, I ask that you give wisdom. Give wisdom that we will open our home so that no matter what those children face outside, they will come home. They will remember home and they will come to Jesus. They will come and receive succor from us in the name of our Lord Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you touch our hearts. Open our hearts. Give us wisdom to handle the situation of today, the difficulties of today. Give us wisdom to be able to make the right decisions at the right times. That will bring light to our homes. That will bring light to our world. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray.